It really is what it's going to be. We're going to be sitting there commentating, like, at the beginning, and then by the end of it, I'll have a tie tied around my head. Woo! We're BM. Time to drink. Oh, boy. What's going on, everybody? Podcast 13? Wow. I didn't even check. I usually have that in my head, but I'm not sure what number it is, but it's the E3 one. It's the second one we've done, and last year we were extremely disappointed by E3, and this year is no exception. Wouldn't you agree, Andrew?
Oh, I would agree very much.
Not a fantastic E3. I was expecting a lot more. But good or bad, it's definitely worth talking about. I think we can agree on that. So it'll be a bit different. We're not going to do some of the stuff like, what are we playing, news, kind of crap. We're just going to jump straight into E3. So hold on to your assholes. Let's do it. So yeah, diving right in. We're just going to do these in order that they were presented, and Microsoft, as always, was first.
Where the video games?
Before we even actually talk about what Microsoft did, what were you expecting some of the stuff you saw? I mean, I know we were expecting the games, but to put it short, we were both extremely disappointed with this press conference, but were you prepared for it to be what it was?
No, I wasn't. I thought Microsoft would at least have a foothold into acceptable. I thought they would at least give us more. Maybe there would be a chance for some better type of games to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just they were set up for not a home run, but they were on a.
They had a chance. They had a chance to make a splash with some sort of announcement. Some game. Last podcast, Fallout 4, maybe something like that. They had their chance.
Very true. Very true. But instead, we got the predictables.
The awfuls.
The awfuls. The flats.
The flats and the give me a bottle of scotch and my gun so I can kill myself. We had a few of those as well. It was bad. The worst press conference. Ooh, between them and EA, it was the worst of the year, I believe.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
All right, so enough griping. Since you clearly know what we thought, let's just kind of talk about some of the stuff they highlighted. Halo 4, which I was totally expecting them to start off with Call of Duty like they've done in the past few years, but Halo 4 was the first out of the gate, and I don't know. It looked... 343, I believe, is the company making it now, not Bungie, and the director for the game is the same guy that directed Metroid Prime, and I kind of got a Metroid-y feel from some of it, but I don't know. It looked like Halo. Like, I've always enjoyed Halo games, but I just cannot get excited for it. I cannot get to that next level to be like, yes, I want to play that. It looked neat. It looked like Halo. That's all I can say about it, which is just kind of a compliment, but it's tired. It as new as it's trying to be, it looks tired. I can tell you, even if this was going to be a good game, I don't know if I want to play a 5 and a 6, which are just going to be incremental upgrades to this.
I got to go with the opposite on that one from you. I thought the Halo thing looked completely boring. And it's the whole time they're trying to pump your blood up, trying to be like, you know, oh, Halo 4, look at what we're going to show. Look at what we're going to have. Cortana's going to have a more of an influence in this. And look at, you know, what is this mystery that these things look like forerunners and this and that and the other. And the whole time they were trying to get your heart pumping, and the whole time I was just yawning. Boring.
Well, I'm looking at our script right here, and except for one bullet point, it was more exciting than everything else. I feel about Halo 4 about the same way I feel about Assassin's Creed 3. Maybe a bit different, like, in terms of how I felt watching it. Do I want to play this game? And Assassin's Creed's like, it's been done to death, but 3 looks cool. And Halo 4's kind of like, I have an obligation almost to play it, but it doesn't look that fantastic, you know? I don't know, like, I think I won't play it just because I cannot support this whole running shit into the ground. I don't like that. Halo's was good, and then it kind of... I thought Halo 3 was not... I thought Halo Reach was the closest they came to going back to Halo 1. I thought Reach was good, but 3 was terrible, and this looks a bit 3-ish to me. I don't know. I don't know what to say about the game, other than maybe I wasn't so apathetic towards it like you are, but I'm certainly not ready to shell out $60 day one for it. Let's put it that way. So, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Halo 4. It really... You know, you knew it was going to be there. It didn't shock me. I was not shitting my pants over it, but it was a solid showing in the sense of it looked okay. You know, I don't think anybody could fault it and say, like, it looked bad. Boring, sure. Tired, sure. But bad? Nah, it didn't look bad, right?
I'll give you that, yeah. Didn't have mistakes, or it just didn't have any pizzazz to it.
No wow factor. But, to segue, if you want to talk about a bad game, let's talk about the new Splinter Cell, which, well, it looked pretty. The animation looked good, but it looked so generic and boring to me. Was it Conviction? Was that the last one, or is that an old one? What was the last?
I think it was Conviction. Yeah, that was the last one they've done.
They show that off, and people are like, this is amazing. I'm thinking, like, you're just pointing at people you want to shoot. You're not even doing it. That's not fun. That can't be fun. So it looked very – which I always thought the point of Splinter Cell was a more – I mean, it wasn't as action-y. It was pretty stealthy, and it was this, you know, gruff old man. And now it just kind of looks like a Bourne Identity kind of ripoff. It didn't look that impressive to me.
I thought the funny thing about the Splinter Cell Blacklist that they showed was that it started off as like some Arabic dude taking another Arabic guy in his arms into a camp. And my first initial thought was, oh, wow, they're using third person in the Black Ops story. Like, wow, that's really strange. I thought they were always going to do first person in Black Ops 2. And of course, then when it went into it, you can see it was actually Splinter Cell Blacklist. But yeah, going into it, it's just one of those things. Splinter Cell, it was good on the Xbox One, but when it transferred to the Xbox 360,
once again, another tired.
Yeah, it was just not even so much tired as more. It's just they never felt that they had to do anything to it to make it it better. They just kept doing the same thing over and over.
Okay, yeah, and that. But the thing that gets me is, like, if I was in charge of it, now I know it's different because there's money involved, and that's one of the stuff that's run to the ground. But if I had control of a franchise, and I think a good one, Hitman's a good example, because it's akin to that. Have you seen the Hitman Absolution trailer where he's killing all the naked nuns? It's retarded. The point being, Hitman was fun. Like, Hitman 2 was an amazing game because it was just very, like, you know, it had the music, but the whole point was it was very simple. You were a hitman. You know, that was the point. Once you start getting into all this, like, action-oriented stuff, you've lost, I guess you can even throw it to Resident Evil. But even then, at least they were always trying to, like, tell the story. So I give them almost a free pass, but I get the whole idea. What I'm getting at with Splinter Cell is the first game, I could never beat it because it is very hardcore about the stealth. It's like, you cannot just go in guns blazing. This is a stealth game. Now, all of a sudden, we're like, not only are you going to kill everyone, you don't even have to aim. The game will just kill them for you, and it'll look cool. And I'm thinking, that's not Splinter Cell. That's not the point of this. It's kind of like I look at Metal Gear Solid Rising, or Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, whatever the fuck it's called nowadays. I like the way they did it. They're like, well, if you want to play it stealthy, there's some time to do that, but this is an action game. It's a different game, which I like how they are separating themselves, which I think is the way it should be. It's like, okay, this is Splinter Cell, but this is not even Sam Fisher. This is some new guy, and it's, yeah, there's some stealthy parts, but it's mostly about action. I'd accept it better if it just kind of did something like that. I was watching the whole thing, just kind of like, not rolling my eyes, but just another one like, ugh, this isn't that impressive. Why is this getting stage time? One of those things. Like last year, we had a lot of time, like, why is this on the stage?
Yeah, I just think those kind of action games either go one way or the other. It's either going to be, nowadays, it's either going to be an action movie that lets you press A and right trigger every once in a while, or it could be good and be a game with action movie influences in it.
Now, another segue. I'm just killing it today. You talk about a game that I thought took up stage time last year, but it was there again, Tomb Raider. This was the highlight of Microsoft's conference for me. I thought it looked amazing. It's definitely a departure from what they've been doing with Tomb Raider, but I think it looks fantastic.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. I thought each one of the press conferences had one game that sort of stood out from the others that was actually a good thing to watch, and Tomb Raider was that for Microsoft. I think they did it right with that one.
But once again, it comes back to what I was just saying. If you're going to make some departure, then treat it like this. They're like, this is basically a reboot. Yeah, it's Lara Croft, but it's a totally different type of direction they're going. She's not just, you know, how can we get her in a bikini? It's not some kind of just playing off some stupid shit like that. It looked legitimately awesome. I thought it looked good last year, but I am definitely looking forward to it now. Because last year was more kind of about, like, the set pieces, which is something Uncharted did so well. And Uncharted 2, I think, was the only one that hit that good balance between action, like, sequences and gameplay. 3 faltered in gameplay, but Tomb Raider looks like it's going to hit that balance. Like, okay, this is... Because I caught myself, like, she was parachuting, like, off the waterfall through the trees. I was like, whoa, you know. If something can do that, right, like, I think that's a great thing for action. Call of Duty used to do it. Like, you're like, oh, God, you know, it's scripted, but it's... So it won't be fun more than once, I guess. Well, you know what I'm trying to say? It's...
Yeah.
If it's done right, it can be pulse-pounding and all, but Uncharted 3 just became like, okay, yeah, oh, the ground's falling beneath me. No, it's not. It's just made to look like that because I'm going to get out of here alive. I know it. It has to be done correctly. And Tomb Raider looks like it. Now, when there's Tomb Raider 2 and it's the same shit, I'll probably be tired of it then. But the first one definitely looks like it's going to be fun. Game of the show for Microsoft, easily.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. And I thought it was really funny. It looks like she is going to get her ass kicked this entire
game. They are not kind to Lara.
Yeah, she is going to be... She's going to be rough in this one.
Yeah, she's seen better days. The final scene for that game might just be her in the hospital bed trying to get the thumbs
the
up.
Full bandage. Just like the legs and arms propped up.
Basically. So after Tomb Raider, they showed another multi-platform game, Resident Evil 6. I know we're both really excited for this. The demo wasn't really feeling it, but it did have that, you know, it looked good. Graphics looked great. The gameplay, I thought, looked really good. A nice balance between still kind of have that Resident Evil visceral, shoot him in the leg, do a melee move like it's been doing. They did that really well, and it looked kind of dark and scary, kind of, but it looked good. It looked real good. Now, like I said, the demo itself was kind of weak. There was no co-op showing off, and I don't know if you noticed it, but when they went off the stage, it flashed on the screen of like, DLC exclusive to Xbox. And they didn't even talk about that. So that was one of the indications to me that Microsoft's press conference was eaten up way too much by two things. The smart glass thing, which I believe we have a question on it, and we'll get on that later. But that and our next topic is what ate this whole conference up, and that's why I think it fell so flat for me. The Resident Evil 6, what'd you think about the demo, Andrew?
I thought the demo was good. There was no problems with it. I got no gripes with it. I think what I saw more was after the stage presentation of Resident Evil 6, where we started hearing things about it in terms of apparently there's going to be like a 3 or 4 person co-op in this one.
Yeah,
that they're titling like Crossroads or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the stuff I really want to hear more about. You know,
exactly.
I'm fine with seeing the Leon in a helicopter kicking a zombie out of it and stuff like that. That's fine to see, but the stuff I'm really interested in is what's these new features that they have in here, like 4-person co-op that we've never seen in it before, and how's this new Wesker son, how is his gameplay going to play like? And so it was things like that that I was really interested in that they did after
and
the show.
What we're getting at with that, I think, is me and you had this discussion because I'm not even going to dignify it with giving it a slot in our little measly podcast, but Usher is going to come out for Dance Central 3. that was a TV muter, but still. The point being, I understand this is a press event, and even so, it's almost like these press conferences are kind of almost stockholder thing. Like to say, this is, you know, Dance Central makes us money, here's the new Dance Central. I just think it'd be a lot more productive, instead of all the showmanship and flashy dancing, all this shit, let's let the Resident Evil guys sit up there for 15, 20 minutes and talk to you about the game, instead of just being, I don't know, if you're going to, you know, show less games, but just explain them better. As opposed to, you know, you're all, because you were just talking about, like, I don't think I saw that thing about Resident Evil 6. And it's just, oh, did you see this? Did you see that? Well, no, because I had to dig through the internet to find it because it wasn't presented before me on the major thing.
Yeah.
And it's been going that way for a while. But Microsoft usually, for those couple of years, 2008, 2009, did a great job of not doing that, you know, doing what I'm talking about. And now they're just as flashy and terrible as ever. I didn't think they could do worse than last year's, and they did. And just because I'm a segue machine today, the way they killed it is Usher did his dance number, and I was rolling my eyes the entire time. And Don Matrick came out, and of course, you know, this is where I was like, okay, here comes the bombshell. He's alluding to something. And I was just, Bailey could tell you, I was shocked. Like, I was about to faint. My mouth dropped to the fucking floor because they ended their show with a 10-minute long Call of Duty Black Ops 2 demo. And it was a snoozer, Andrew. It was a yawn fest. What did you think?
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. It was, I don't think there's any more to say than it was a snoozer. It was Call of Duty, the E3 demo that they've done every single year, time after time after time.
This is the 9th Call of Duty game, and it's a franchise that started in 2001, I think. That's insane. That's insane. I'm not even going to talk much about Call of Duty, but I believe when they first revealed it, there was a tweet by an EA executive that said, it was something along the lines of like, oh, Call of Duty, you look tired. You should take a year off or something. I think like that's what I'd say exactly to Call of Duty because it's tired. Even they're trying to change the setting a bit, it's still boring. Like, come on. You know, I'd have more respect if they just went up there and played multiplayer because that's the only reason people play those games. At least let me watch, you know, some people having fun with multiplayer as opposed to these boring scripted demos. Ugh. And they ended the show on that. I was literally shocked. It was that bad. So what I'm getting at, Andrew, is overall, what are some final words you say about Microsoft's conference, and what was your grade before, and what is your grade after actually seeing it?
Final thoughts on the Microsoft conference, I'd say, like I said before, they had a good opportunity to do some good in the gaming world. They had a good chance to just, we've already talked about the Kinect enough. We've already talked about this and that. Mm-hmm. Now let's get some new projects. Let's get some new blood in this thing. Let's find some new games, some new ideas, some refreshing talk. But they just, they didn't do that. They fell flat. Anything they tried to do, like I remember they did some arcade titles too, like Wrecketeer,
yeah,
Loco Motorcycle and stuff. All of that was just, it was completely either gimmicky or stale.
A waste of time.
Yeah, gimmicky or stale. That's the way it went for them, for the most part, excluding Tomb Raider and Resident Evil 6.
And those are games that are not even exclusive. But see, that's what I'm trying to say. Fuck this exclusivity shit. You don't have many exclusives. Oh my god, we didn't even talk about the new Gears of War game.
Oh yeah, yeah.
How tired did that look?
I mean,
I don't want to puke before we're done with the podcast. Ugh.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe every single game franchise. They all say they're done. They're like the Rolling Stones of the gaming world. They all just keep saying they're done, and then they never finish. They
the
never
Rolling
know
Stones
when to
are
hang
back
it up.
With their eighth farewell tour. Yeah. I'm getting way off topic here. That's one of the beauties of the show Seinfeld, because they just hung it up in their prime. And, you know, that's okay to do that. Just Halo 3, finish the fight. We'll finish it. As much as I hate to, like, I'm not even complimenting them, but if you're just going to milk it, at least Call of Duty milks the shit out of it, and they're not really trying to tell a story. Like, they're kind of like, yeah, you're going to play it for the multiplayer. We don't really care. Buy it. And most people are like, okay. I can respect that far more than this whole, like, another story from Gears of War. Yes, there's another one. There's really not.
Yes, just beautiful story arc from Gears of War.
And I'm thinking, like, you know what? If you're that hungry for money, release Gears of War Judgment. Is that what it's called? Release that, whatever you want to call it. Make it $20 and put it on the arcade, and it's just multiplayer. I'd buy that. If it's an upgrade to multiplayer, why not? Because that's all anyone's going to play.
Very true, very true.
And as much as they have nailed that franchise into the ground, Assassin's Creed, at least, even if it's a bad one, they're trying to tell a story. So I can let them get away with that. But still, if it's just Call of Duty, why don't you release a $20 multiplayer? Make it $30 since you're so greedy for money. But meet me somewhere in the middle, guys. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but grades, before and after, what'd you have?
Yeah, I said before was a C+, I believe. That was okay. What I graded it in the last podcast. And so now that we've seen it, I'm going to give it a flat F.
Ooh.
The big fat failure F.
Ouch.
So I'm really eager to hear what your grading is going to be for Microsoft.
Well, I think I've just explained my disdain. They had two multi-platform titles that were good, and the rest I thought was either boring, didn't interest me, or was just a waste of time. That being Usher and the smart glass stuff, which we'll get to later. But it once again failed to do anything other than bore me. And then we both agree they had a chance to do something, and I think they fell flat in every regard. I feel like if I could have caught a demo of Tomb Raider and Resident Evil 6, I wouldn't even need to have to watch Microsoft. That's the only reason I watched it. In retrospect, I'd rather just get that hour and a half back and see those two 20-minute, or take 20 minutes to see those two demos.
Yeah, just see them online.
So, as for me, before a couple weeks ago, I was predicting a B-, because I thought they were going to give me some sort of surprise, and they gave me nothing. So, I'm going to go worse than you. I'm going to say F-.
The F-.
I'd tie them with EA. One of those two had the worst conference of the show, and one of the worst ones in years. It was really depressing, almost.
It was very depressing.
All right, so enough ranting about Microsoft and their just god-awful performance. So let's go to Sony. We're going to need a who we both agree. I mean, I look at both of us. What does the PlayStation provide me? Well, not much that the Xbox won't do for me. The online's worse, but they have, you know, I know you like the infamous games. There's Metal Gear Solid. We both love those games. I guess that's multi-platform now, but in Uncharted, I love those games. So they have some exclusives. That's what Sony has going for them. But to pull me away from my Xbox and to say I want to play on my PS3 forever is not what they have going. They've never had that going for them, I think. It's just kind of like, pick one or the other, and I've picked Xbox. Not out of some kind of like loyalty to Microsoft, just, I've owned every PlayStation, and I don't hate Sony. I just, they don't ever wow me E3, because I think they're kind of boring. But, well, I don't want to give anything away I have to say about Nintendo, but Sony this year did not make me want to shoot myself. I was not out of boredom. But, let's jump into Sony, because what I'd want to say is, other than one fiasco in the middle, they actually showed some games. Now, not all of them were hits. I don't think any of them really hit well. There was... Point being, they were showing games, and that's more I can say about Microsoft, really.
I think they had one game that really drew me in. Mm-hmm. One game that really just, I mean, it's one game, it was laughably terrible. And then the rest were really just either mediocre or had some problem or another that that gets you to want to look away.
I'm eager to know what the one that just was terrible. But we'll start it off. The first game, Quantic Dream. I can never remember the name of the development team, but I'm pretty sure that's it. The guys behind Heavy Rain, which I think me and you could both agree, Heavy Rain as a game, meh, but it was a neat experience. The story, I thought, was a bit predictable and a bit cheesy, but it was good, I thought. Solid enough. And I feel like if that's the way you want to go, person that doesn't play video games, it's not hard to play that. And I liked how they did it kind of where you were controlling the story a bit, because if you messed up and did something wrong, then, you know, it changed the story and you could get all kinds of different endings. I can get the idea of people like, what game? It was a movie, sure, but would it have been a great movie? No. Would it have been? Is it a great game? Well, no, but as a hybrid, it's pretty neat. So the next game, David Cage, I believe, is the developer, the director, so it's kind of a big deal, is Beyond Two Souls. It is about, I believe it's some telekinetic girl, Ellen Page, that chick from Juno, there's a lot I know her as, and she's starring as it. And the demo was extremely boring, but I don't know. It seems a bit psychological. Kind of that. I'm sure it's going to be that same kind of movie game. How do you feel about that game? Are you interested in that game, Andrew?
To a point, yes. I think it will be, and it'll be another Heavy Rain, and that's not a bad thing, because, sure, like you said before, it looks like it'll be a pretty good hybrid in the middle, yeah, but it's not like they're just making a Heavy Rain 2 or just plastering a new coat of paint on it. It looks like it'll be different, but they'll still keep the same good virtues of the first one. And so it'll be interesting to play, I think, on a rainy day or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
But I will say that I do not think they presented it very well at the
press conference. Horrible demo, because it was like watching a boring movie, because she wasn't doing anything. It was a bad presentation, but I guess it's one of those things, if you saw it and you didn't understand what Heavy Rain was, you'd be like, what the fuck am I watching? But I think me and you have a concept of it. I don't think, like, we can see what the game might become, as opposed to, like, that was a shitty demo.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I kind of got watching it. It was just like kind of dark and like a psychological. I kind of got an Alan Wake vibe, and just in the sense of it seemed moody, which Alan Wake was just, besides the ending, like, that was one of the best games this generation, of putting forth a mood for a game. It had good gameplay too, but it was just kind of I believe you came over when I was playing that game because you let me borrow it, and it was a stormy night, and I was in my dark little room playing it, and it was just very kind of shiverific. I don't know a better term, but I'll just make that one up. But it was, you know, it was kind of, ooh, unsettling. I liked it. And this game kind of seems like a weird little movie that, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say other than, yeah, I'm interested in it, because, like I said, Bailey bought Heavy Rain, and it was one of those things that we let you borrow, we both played it, and we all kind of said, like, yeah, it was a good game. I was like, damn, I kind of regret buying it, though, because that wasn't worth that, but worth a play? Sure. As much as it pains me to say, I'm probably looking forward to it. I couldn't say it was one of the better games of the show because it didn't show anything, but, like, my interest is peaked. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Didn't hate it. I'll see what they do with it. And
exactly. Yeah.
We'll see when it comes out. And
we'll have to catch it next E3. It was one of those in-between games. Here's something, though. I have something to say. This is fun. Another game they demoed, and this had a lot more gameplay, was PlayStation All-Star Battle Royale, a.k.a. Super Smash Brothers, original idea by Sony. Do not steal it, Nintendo. Oh, wait. The funny part, I don't know if you heard this, but they posted the trailer for it amidst E3, and this was by Sony Computer Entertainment. Like, they posted this, and the tags were Super Smash Brothers, SSB, and, like, Smash Brothers. Like, those were the three tags for the YouTube video. They quickly changed that, but the internet never forgets. So, if they were like, well, no, this is... It's like when Mass Effect 3 developers were like, well, it's not Horde mode. Well, it is. And they're like, it's not Smash Brothers. You just said it was Smash Brothers. It says it right there. They tagged it as that, because that's what it is. It is Smash Brothers with Sony characters. Although it doesn't look as fun as Smash Brothers, it doesn't look as pretty as Smash Brothers, and it has the characters of Smash Brothers. So, who really cares?
Yeah.
What did you think when you were watching them demo this on stage?
That was the laughably horrible game that I was talking about. I thought this is beyond incapable. it's a blatant ripoff, and it's just, I don't give this game the time of day. It's just terrible.
That was the thing I got from it. It's like, okay, I understand being derivative happens. You know, I mean, it's really, really a ripoff, but you know what? Shit gets ripped off all the time. It's just the reality of anything creative. But it didn't look fun is the problem. Like, it did not look fun at all. It looked awful, to be quite honest. I just don't think Sony has the characters to do it. And they announced two ones. And here's the funny part.
That's what I was just about to say.
Yeah, they don't. I don't think they have the franchises, because look at this. Now, Nathan Drake, they're putting in there. Sure, he's a logical choice. That's a Sony exclusive. But the second character they announced was a Big Daddy from Bioshock. And I was thinking, you know, was it Bioshock an Xbox exclusive for the longest time? Like,
yes, it was.
How did that land on the PlayStation All-Stars? I don't get that. You know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. It's the same thing as a Microsoft. If they did it, if they ripped that off, they don't have anyone. Master Chief, Marcus Fenix. Well, Cortana, she's in there too. They don't have many solely exclusive franchises. Sony has a lot more than Microsoft, but even then, the Big Daddy, Solid Snake now, they're not exclusive to you. So Nintendo, they can get away with it because they have just so many characters. Like I said, even beyond, like, I don't know why they're doing this. This is a ripoff. Even if it's a rip, it didn't look like a good one. It's like if you buy some Bayran sunglasses. I mean, it's a ripoff knockoff, but they're not even good. So I don't know why you'd present that. They were excited, but I thought it looked pretty shitty, I gotta be honest.
It was very low grade. Very low grade.
That's a good... very good... It is low grade Smash Brothers. That's good. Speaking of low grade, God of War Ascension.
Hey! Nice bump into
that,
it.
I thought that looked pretty low grade. That's a theme we have, because the sequelitis that we've just been force-fed this whole fucking E3. Does that not look tired? That looks pretty fucking tired.
Yeah, I remember that demo ran very long. It was a very long demo.
Boring.
I'll agree with you. I just couldn't wait for it to be over.
Same here.
I mean, I could literally picture it. They didn't show any button commands, but I could see in my mind.
Sure.
To do this crazy move. Press X to do this crazy move. It's just 1X. 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 And it does all that stuff, and it's just, ugh.
We're going right back to the topic of keep going to a story after you supposedly finished it. Gameplay-wise, God of War has always been just simplistic and whatever, but they told the story. We're 1, 2, and 3. Why are you going back to it? The story's done. I don't get it. Another thing that was a waste of time was Wonder Book, which we have a question about, so we'll get to that later, but rest assured, it was a waste of time. But finally, they did end it, basically, with the game we knew about, from Naughty Dog, the Uncharted developers, Last of Us, which basically looked like a zombie Uncharted. But that's not a bad thing. I didn't know what to expect from this game, but the demo looked pretty fucking awesome, I have to say. What do you think about it, Andrew?
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by it. I thought it was a very good attempt. I think the whole idea behind this game was that you were not so much scavenging like Fallout 3.
I think that's pretty much it. That's the vibe I got from it, definitely.
It was more like you had to think on your feet. You know, you got five, you know, revolver shots, and so you had to use them wisely, and then if you run out, you got to be able to maybe think about going, into this room opposite here. But I also liked, at the same time you're doing that, it looks like the AI is... They got some brains to them, because they won't just sit in the same cover while you're going into a different room. They'll move around, too, and try to get at you.
And the one thing I'll give the credit for, because I did see a guy demoed it later online, and it was not smoke and mirrors, because they played the same demo, and it behaved totally differently. I don't know where the girl that's with him, she, like, goes around, and that's what she does. She'll look for items, like a knife or something, and try to flank people when it's safe. And so there's one time, like, stabbed a dude in the head, killed him. I mean, it was crazy. It looked legitimately fun. I don't know. The Uncharted games always had bad AI, but they were also very just straight up, here's a million bullets, kill everyone. It's about time a zombie game had something kind of like this. Because you can kind of go two different ways with it. Resident Evil used to be this game where it's like, you have to conserve your ammo and stuff. You have to place your shots. You're surviving. And then, of course, you can go the opposite with, like, a Left 4 Dead, which is just kill all zombies. It's like an arcade game, basically. This seems to go back to that whole thing, like, you're not going to have many shots. I don't know. I don't even know if it's a zombie game. It's more like monsters. I don't know. But the whole point being, it looked good. That's all I can say about it. I want to play it. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I give it the stamp of approval. The thumbs up. That'll be something I'll check out later.
Agreed. So, just like we did with Microsoft, let's go to the nitty-gritty. What were your thoughts on Sony's conference and grade before and grade after? Go for it.
My thoughts were that they didn't do anything really bad.
Except Wonder Book.
Wonder Book was something that I would not have made that choice that they did. But apart from that, they didn't really do anything bad. They didn't mess themselves up or make themselves look ridiculous other than Wonder Book.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I gotta say, they were like the student that just skates over the line. They were the one that just passed.
D's get degrees.
Yeah,
right?
they just got over that line, just got over the hurdle.
Sure.
And so I think before I gave them a C, and now I'm going to keep with that same and just say they got a very flat C, nothing spectacular, but nothing destructive.
Well, sure, and like I pretty much feel the same way. I gave them a C, but I give them a C minus just because I thought they did have that Wonder Boat was off, and there was some fluff, but I think that's a pretty good job that the conference was put together well. They only had one montage, so, or no, there's two, but still, that's what I'll attribute to. I'm interested in the Quantic Dream game, Beyond Two Souls. I'm interested, definitely, in Last of Us. There were no huge flubs other than Wonder Book, so I'll let that slide. But the conference moved okay, and like not tons of montages. And the one thing I'll give them, like, this actually sounds like I'm dogging on, but it's not, is they did not focus really at all on the Vita, because the Vita's dead. Not dead in the sense of, like, they're going to stop making it, but it's kind of like Nintendo's Vita's. You know, if you want to play Call of Duty on the go, you have to use the Vita, because it can handle it. You want to play this Assassin's Creed 3 game, you have to use the Vita. It can handle it. But if you want to have fun, I guess you've already got a 3DS. In that sense, though, it's I like how they didn't focus on it, because really, what is there to focus on? So, I thought that was pretty cool. Which sounds like I'm insulting it, but I'm not. It's kind of, if you don't really have anything important to say, don't waste time with it, which, except for Wonder Book, they didn't do. They showed some games. They weren't shouting statistics a lot. It was less boring than Microsoft's press conference, I think, I have to say.
I'll agree with you on the Vita thing. I think it was their defeat, and the best thing to do in a defeat is to kind of gloss over it, to sort of, you know.
And sure, but even then, it's like on the perimeter of admitting it. It's just kind of like, well, it's the Vita. If you have one, I hope you like it, but not a lot of you do. It was just the idea to me that they did not waste their time on it, because it would have been time wasted. Alright, so that's more or less it for Sony. Which, usually we're like, well, they're all boring, so they're just Sony. But showed some cool games. I was pleasantly surprised with Sony, even though we gave them C's and C+'s or C-minuses, but still, better than most. Now, just like last year, let's get to the big dog. The one we were ready for this year, Nintendo.
Shit.
Are you ready to talk about Nintendo, Andrew?
I think I'm ready to talk about Nintendo, yes.
So, they made it pretty clear. This was based on the little pre-E3 thing they did. They're only going to be talking about games, basically. Which is perfect. Like, we were excited. And games for the Wii U. So, even less 3DS, that's even better. Because they can have a whole separate show for 3DS. But, wow. Falling flat cannot begin to describe Nintendo. They had a ton of potential. And I think they blew a lot of hot air, really. The Wii U. Andrew, if I could just ask you off the top of your head, coming into this conference, what were you hoping to hear about the Wii U? Like, what were some just key points you wanted to hear about at the show?
Key points in terms of the Wii U, I was hoping to hear a lot more about the online capability of the Wii U.
Definitely,
how
that
it
is
was
a must.
Play with that.
Sure.
And I was hoping to hear what direction with Nintendo games, especially what direction
sure.
they were going to take with the Wii U,
mm-hmm.
and what kind of capabilities the Wii U was going to have in terms of its own individual functions, like that touch screen on the gamepad and stuff like that. What it could do that the Xbox or PlayStation could not.
And I'd like to say they totally failed on all of that. They said nothing about online. Like, that is, you have no idea how critical that is, Nintendo. That is my only question. They didn't even talk about graphical capabilities. I gleaned it. The whole word was a bit more powerful than the PS3 and Xbox 360, and it certainly appears that way. And I only evidenced that by Darksiders 2 and Mass Effect 3 in a demo, like a montage, just showing clips on it. It was running at 60 frames a second. So obviously, it's more powerful than those two machines. But we were expecting that. I mean, the games look good, so we know it has some power, but I needed to know definitively kind of where it was at. So we didn't get an answer on that. No answer on the online. We only get the socials part of it, which I get it. It's kind of neat, but my whole problem I have with stuff like that, because Sony and Xbox do it too, is if I want to ask, because the demo they showed, this was the night before, the Sunday before, which the idea was like me and Andrew playing the same game, and we get stuck on a part, and we can look up like a message board, basically, for the game saying how to get past a part. Okay, that's nice, but to be honest, I will just, instead of that, I will get up from my couch, sit here on this computer, and I'll look it up. I just don't see the purpose and stuff like that, because it's more efficient on my computer. So that was what they were showing online-wise, the Miiverse and all that stuff. Which I thought was, why don't you just call it the Yumiverse? I mean, isn't that the same shit? But that's just semantics. The online stuff was non-existent. I did not see, like...
Yeah, like, this is how you connect into game lobbies. Or...
Exactly. A good example was they showed a few E3s ago, it was the new Super Mario Brothers Wii, where you could, there's like four-player co-op, and I was like, this looks like a lot of fun. You can mess with your friends. This will be some griefing. That'll be fun. And they never, like, until like a month before it came out, like, yeah, you can't play it online. So that's what I need. I need that to be online. I was just thinking today, like, tell me this. Would you pick up a Wii U if the price was right? And all of a sudden they said, here's Star Fox, you know, 64-2. Basically, you know, another one like that. And you can now play co-op with your friends. Four-player co-op. Everybody can be their own R-Wing. Would you play that? Fuck yeah, you'd play that. That'd be amazing. And I'm just talking about if it could be like PS3 levels of online. Just, there's an online, it's free. It's not as good as Xbox Live. It's not as good as being on your computer, but still, it's pretty good. If they could just tell me something like that, I'd be sold. But even then, I can't be sold because I don't know when the fucking thing's coming out. I don't know how much it's going to cost. And you basically showed me nothing other than third-party games that I'm already going to be able to play. And you showed me Pikmin 3, which we'll get into now. What'd you think of Pikmin 3, Andrew?
You know, honestly, I think I'm the only person who's ever actually followed Nintendo that didn't like Pikmin.
Sure.
I don't get what the big hype for it is.
It's a bit of an acquired taste. It's kind of like one of the, what it reminds me, I thought the, I never played Pikmin 2. The first one was a solid game, I thought, though. But it was, yeah, it's certainly not the greatest game ever, because I think it's one of those things, like, from the visionary director, Shigeru Miyamoto. So, oh, we got to play it now. It's just his next game. Like, well, it doesn't mean it's instantly gold, but I watched it. It looked okay. Like, I like the integration with the touchpad, but still, it's nothing to write home about, I think. I guess it, my problem is, if that's your killer app launch title, I don't think so. You got to look at the releases. I think Sony had nothing when the PS3 came out. Nintendo, it had, or the Wii, it had Twilight Princess, fantastic game. Microsoft, they didn't have much. But then you look, the Xbox One had Halo. PS2 had Gran Turismo 3, I believe. Maybe it was later, but the GameCube had Super Smash Bros. Melee. You have to have that killer thing, and I don't think playing Mass Effect 3 or Pikmin 3 or our next game, we're talking about New Super Mario's, what is it?
New Super Mario Brothers U. Is the Wii one.
What do you think about that, Andrew? Is that something you're just going to shit your pants over?
No. I think after the conference was over, the guy Adam Sessler, he said it very well, that the game, just New Super Mario Brothers U, looked like it was just didn't do anything. It didn't have anything to it that was different, or that
it was,
they didn't try anything.
See, that's the problem, though. That's because I had this conversation with Travis about Mario games. I'm thinking the Mario games are about as tired as anything, because look at it. Mario Brothers comes out on with the Nintendo. Well, it was a great game back then. Like, you know, it was very tight. It played great. That was a big deal. And then the Super Nintendo comes out, and it's bundled with Super Mario World, one of the greatest games ever. It was an evolution from Mario 3, which I still think Mario World's better, but that's a whole different thing. Bigger, more colorful, there's new stuff. It was amazing. Then you look to the Nintendo 64. Here's the next wrinkle. Okay, not only is it bigger, but this is now Mario in 3D. And since then, they've gone back, but they have not. I'm saying Mario 64, yeah, that'll put my ass in the seat. That was crazy. I shit my pants when I saw that as a kid. That was the reason I got a Nintendo 64. But then you look something like New Super Mario Brothers U, and I'm thinking, I don't want a Wii for this. I can play this on my 3DS. This is not something to write home about. What was your impressions when you saw that game?
Yeah, I had the same impression. It was, this is Super Mario Brothers, the 3DS one, but made onto the new gamepad. I mean, that was literally what it was, or what it looked
exactly.
Like.
Exactly, yeah. That is and it's just...
It was not a Super Mario Galaxy or Super Mario Sunshine. It was nothing new or
there was no
inventive wrinkle
to it. It's exactly. It's tired. So as much as we're just, like, dancing around talking about all this crap, they showed some Batman, the Zombie U. That looked kind of cool. They showed all kinds of stuff. But honestly, when I think of Nintendo, I want Nintendo games. And at the end, they were poised to, here's their big announcement. I was waiting. And it's Nintendo Land, which basically the way they described it is, this is now the Wii Sports of the Wii U. It's a bunch of mini games, basically. And it, of course, plays off Nintendo franchises. But still, like, this is what you're ending your show on. And they spent 20 minutes on Nintendo Land, which was... Andrew, what did you think about it? You tell me, because this gives me a headache just thinking about the fucking thing.
I'm going to equate it to something else. You say it's like the Wii Sports. I'm saying it's like the Wii Music. If everyone looks back at Wii Music, they remember they showed it off at
they were
at
proud
E3
of it
before. Yeah, and it
sure.
was something they were proud of, but when you look at it now, it's a joke. It's something that people make fun of online.
Sure.
They've got little GIFs of people playing it and showing how stupid they were to play it and how stupid they were to make it and to think it was going to be some huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of thing. Nintendo Land is the Wii Music of the Wii U. It's just,
that's probably better, yeah.
It's going to be a joke. People aren't going to buy that. They're not going to want that.
That's what I'm trying to find out is, is this going to be like a pack-in like Wii Sports was, which is why it was so successful? Or is this just going to be, hey, buy this $60 game that you probably don't even really want to play?
And, I mean, these are just a bunch of mini-games. And they want us to pay full price for a bunch of mini-games.
I don't think so. And, oh my God, it just looks so underwhelming. And once again, the problem I have is you ended your show on this. This is what they ended their show on. It's almost as bad as it again on Call of Duty Blops too. Oh my God. Really? That was terrible.
It was an over-glorified tech demo for the Wii U.
Sure. And even then, it wasn't like it was some kind of crazy, like the Zelda thing last year, something that looked insane. It was just kind of like, okay, this is fun. And then I just remember he was like, all right, we're going to show you one last look at this. And I thought something big was about to happen. And it was just basically a fireworks show in the game. That's how they ended their conference. And I was just like, okay. That's it. I don't even want to keep talking about it, but just like the last was Nintendo, final thoughts. What'd you think of it? Great before, great after?
What I thought was it's just Nintendo almost seemed to be playing around. It's just they weren't serious about the love and affection that their fans showed to them. And this E3 was just some kind of like, don't go breaking my heart, Nintendo. You know, it's just, we have faith in your Wii U. We got faith in your games. What do you got for us? And it was just
nothing.
The half-hearted showing. And I think the best way to sum it up is at the end of Nintendo Land, after the end of this discussion, Reggie just kind of nonchalant says, I believe he said this. I haven't gone back and looked, but I believe he said Nintendo Land and the Wii U hardware will be available this holiday season. And he just kind of said that so nonchalant, like almost you didn't catch it type of deal. Like you had to cup your ears, like, what was that he said? Where it's just the Wii U isn't even, its release date isn't even being glorified. It's just,
yeah, just buy it.
Yeah, it's just barely whispered along with the Nintendo Land. And I just, it's unbelievable to me how just uncaring they were for this E3. I mean, it's just, they had no feeling in it. There was no...
It was flat. Another flat one.
Yeah, very, very flat, very unsavoring, undesirable. Almost like they didn't want to be there. Like, they were ready to go back there and try more stuff for the Wii U. But I think grade-wise, before I said it would be a B, and I think now I'm going to say it's going to be a D-.
Ouch. Oh, I can't agree more. They answered nothing about the Wii U. I know how the system works now, but even then, I kind of got that last year. After the dust settled, I need to know online, I need to know price, I need to know when, and I need to know how far that tablet reaches. That's like basic things. So I get they were, see, the problem is I understand they were trying to just say, hey, here's the games. They didn't really show games, but that was the idea. Games at the conference, and before you can hear about the specs, they didn't do that at the before thing either, though. They've failed in every aspect of trying to explain this thing to me again. And I'm sure I'm interested, but like I try to tell Travis and Bailey, I'm content with upgrading my PC and playing games on that, and then just waiting for a major Nintendo title that's not Mario to show up on it. I love Nintendo, and I love their games and their franchises, but they've got to convince me to get this thing, and they have to tell me how much it's going to cost me when I want it. Grade-wise, I had them at my highest one, B+. I thought they were going to steal the show, and I give them an F+ after seeing it. They bombed completely. And once again, is it just a half grade above Microsoft? Maybe not, but it's still, for 2 years in a row, the most disappointing conference by far. Not even close. So, there you go. E3. I feel like we dogged on it the whole time. There were some glimmers, I should say, but we did this last year. On a personal level, Andrew, what was your highlights, which we'll do first, and your lowlights? So, Andrew, what was your highlight of the conference? The one thing that stood out and you said, okay, that was cool.
I think my highlight personally was Assassin's Creed 3 throughout E3, because I know they showed it about two or three times.
It did have a good showing. It looks good.
I thought that was, Assassin's Creed, was it Revelations, whatever that was, that left a bad taste in your mouth.
Sure.
But I think 3 was, it was a good way to show a game at E3. For each conference, you saw something just a bit different.
Sure.
And they gave you little surprises, like, you know, the sea aspect to it and all that.
Sure.
But it's just, nothing was really boring, and they kind of kept it at a good pace. And I thought that was, if anyone, you know, if any one of these game companies wants to know, how do we get a game to look presentable at one of these stage conferences, then look at what Assassin's Creed 3 did for this year. So that was my high point, but I'm really excited to hear what your high point was for the E3.
Well, if we're talking strictly conferences, I'm still like, I feel weird talking about it. I am blown away by Tomb Raider. I think it looks fantastic. But also, even though it wasn't on the stage, Metal Gear Solid, I keep saying that, Metal Gear Rising, whatever the fuck you want to call it, it looks incredible. It looks really good. It looks like the Bayonetta 2, I guess I'm never going to get, but it does look quite enjoyable. But Tomb Raider, yeah, amazing. Excited for that. So, highlight, sure. How about your low light? That's what I want to know. What is Andrew's lowest of the low light for E3 this year?
For my low light, I'm going to say the Wii U presentation throughout the Nintendo conference.
Sure.
That was pretty much my low light, because with that pre-E3 video thing they did Sunday before E3. Gotcha. Was it Sunday?
Yeah, it was Sunday.
Sunday before E3. I thought that was a great opener to what they could show off for the Nintendo press conference. It got me excited to see what the Wii U could do, because it explained it very well in that pre-E3. Mm-hmm. They gave a good opener, but they had to do a strong act to seal the deal, and they didn't do that. And so
a lot of it was overlap. Like they talked about that Yumiverse or Miiverse, whatever they want to call it. They talked about it a lot in the pre thing, and they talked about it a lot at the conference itself. I was like, this, I know this already. Wrap it up.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think personally, my low light was the Wii U being presented throughout Nintendo's press conference. So
the Wii U was definitely like the Olympic diver trying to land some special thing, and instead of ending it with the dive, does a belly flop and knocks himself out. It was really not good.
All right, so I've said my low, and now I want to pass it on to you. What was your low light?
Low light? I mean, it's a bunch of things, really. The way that Nintendo and Microsoft conference is ending, those were just, oh my god, two of the biggest low lights of the show. But I guess if I had to really pin a low light, it'd be pretty much like you said, the Wii U thing, but the fact that they showed no Nintendo games. And I'm sorry, Nintendo Land and Mario don't count. You have Star Fox, Metroid, Zelda,
Donkey Kong.
Kirby, Donkey Kong. They have so many things they could do something with, and they did nothing. Like, tease us again. Smash Bros. Just tease us again. That's all I need, just a little teaser. And they couldn't even do that. To me, that's just soul-crushingly terrible. This is the big stage, and you can't deliver. So, if not now, when?
An excellent question.
All right, so we got that out of the way. We're pretty much done with the conference talk. We'll get some more things that were not necessarily at conferences. We'll talk about that a little later. But for now, we haven't done this in a long time. Questions. Some of y'all were nice enough to send us questions, so we always like enjoying those. So let's dig into those. Andrew, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Mailbag day! Mailbag day! Hey, everybody, it's mailbag day!
First off, a very simple question. Dave and Oobs both ask, who won E3?
I guess I'd have to say maybe Ubisoft won E3 out of all of them.
I totally agree, which is just something I don't think anybody expected. I guess I based that off of, even though they should just... Assassin's Creed 3, once again, it was strong. Far Cry 3 looked boring. That Watch Dogs game, scripted or not, it looked pretty incredible, I thought. It just, more or less like a modern Assassin's Creed, but still, it looked really good. Now, the whole build-up to it was kind of cheesy, but the game itself looks like it has enormous potential. And is it like a second coming of gaming? Well, no, it doesn't really seem like that, but it was one of those things. It was the closest thing we got to the bombshell surprise, because I'd never heard of the game until then, and it looked really good.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree with you on that.
I think we're probably on the same wavelength. If there was a reason why I think Ubisoft won, it was just because that was shocking is the wrong word, because it wasn't shocked, but I was shocked to see a game I've never heard of look so good, and I think that's what E3 is all about. It's a surprise, so yeah, Ubisoft, hands down for me.
Yeah, me too. I agree, totally agreed with what you said. Thought that Watchdog, it started out like, what is this? Let's see another terrible game idea get shown up on a big, huge TV spectacle, and then they ended up doing something pretty good.
All right, so now we'll go back to Dave, since they both kind of asked it. Here's a question Dave asked. Of the games that took center stage, which ones caught your eye, Andrew?
I guess I'd say Tomb Raider,
sure.
Last of Us,
sure.
And Tomb Raider, Last of Us, and Watchdog.
See, I guess I'll pretty much mirror you exactly and say, yeah, same for me. I'm definitely interested in the Beyond game. Assassin's Creed 3, color me kind of interested, but Resident Evil 6, of course, but I'm still under the impression that Tomb Raider was the best-looking game there. But yeah, those definitely all caught my eye. And here's a longer one. Dave asks, what are your thoughts on Nintendo's E3? Did it feel like they were holding something back to you? There was no Zelda, no word on specs, release date or price, a lot of information that hardcore Nintendo lovers don't really care about, blah, 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 blah. So yeah, pretty much all we said, but just once again for Dave, what were your the basic thoughts of Nintendo E3? I know we've already talked about this, but what do you think? I
thought they had, it's not so much they were holding things back as that they were just too focused on one aspect, and that one aspect was the Wii U.
Sure.
I think they didn't have an idea of what to do with the games yet. They didn't know what kind of Zelda U they could get going.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know what kind of Star Fox U they could do yet. And so, you know,
They resolved to the safe bet of Mario.
Yeah.
Which is nothing.
So they resolved to the Mario, and they were just too focused on the hardware.
And even then, I totally understand them trying to show off third-party games, but Batman and Scribblenauts, I mean, I love Arkham City, but I don't really feel like I need to play Armored Edition. Zombie U, I think a lot of people were surprised, because it does look neat the way they use the touchpad. Show it off better. It looked all pre-rendered. Show it off a little better. Let's just, you know, let's cut right through that crap cake and show us something. If this thing's going to be out this holiday, I need to see something clear of what it's going to do, what it's going to look like, how it's going to work. Demo the thing. I got to see that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, so far, of that Zombie U they showed to me, it looked almost like a like the House of the Dead arcade games you'd see,
sure,
you know, in the Funlands and stuff, where it's just those plastic guns that you shoot at the big screen and stuff, and I don't find that extraordinarily enjoyable. So I thought they needed to present it a bit better than they did.
Yeah, that, I think that's, for Dave, I think if you wanted to look at it, that was the one thing I'd say. They needed to present everything a little better than they did. It was flat. I think that's the best way to describe it. Thanks, Dave. That's cool. Josh has the next round of questions. Of course, we already answered his first one, but the second one, what games or developers would you have liked to see take center stage? Which I think is a really good question, because I think we can both agree a lot of games that should be up there aren't. So, Andrew, what's a game or developer you can think of?
Platinum game, some kind of, you know, fun, goofy Platinum
Rising
game.
Yeah, sure.
They're very good at making. I would have liked to see either more on that Dawnstar or more on, you know, another title that Bethesda could be working on.
Sure, which they really weren't there much at all, mm-hmm, other than Dawnguard.
And I would have loved to see a classic Nintendo game for the Wii U that was not Mario. Something that was a deep,
sure,
storyline. Well, not deep story, but a good storyline, a classic feel to it, and something that you'll know you'll have an enjoyable time for an hour and a half of just straight through playing.
Which is, I'm glad you said that, because I agree with your first two, definitely. I was thinking Fallout 4 or something from Bethesda. Definitely, I would love to see Rising on the big stage. But just like you said, Nintendo, Retro Studios, Metroid Prime games, Donkey Kong Country Returns, that's who I wanted to see, because I know they're working on something for the Wii U, and I really wanted to see that, and there was no fucking mention of them whatsoever. And that's what I wanted to see, and I was, frankly, a bit miffed about it. Anyways, next question, also from Josh. What did you think about Smart Glass? And this is Microsoft's whole integration of tablets and PCs and smartphones into Kinect, or excuse me, into dashboard integration. And Andrew, without describing this shit ad nauseum, what did you think of Smart Glass?
I'm going to start by answering that with another question. Did Nintendo show anything about the idea of tablets and phones working with your game system? Did they?
They made mention of it, and the pre-thing, they kind of made the point of you can use your Wii U tablet as like a remote, which is basically what Microsoft was trying to brag about, so whatever there. But yeah, I think everyone made mention of some online connectivity coming to a smartphone or tablet, PC, or PC, stuff like that. But Microsoft's the one that spent a great deal of time on it.
So the way I'll answer this question is this the new trend
Gimmick.
Now that
yeah.
going, even, you know, out looking as a third party, is this the new trend where every single game company is all going to jump on board one idea after another that's just
it seems
gimmicky?
It seems, well, look at the Wii and what it did for motion gaming. It seems like that's the case.
First, they're doing every single one of the game companies got to do the motion control. Now they all got to have some kind of aspect where you can continue playing the game even if you turn off the TV.
Sure.
And then now it's going to be how can we interconnect your tablet and smartphone into your gaming system? And so, oh dear God, gag me with a spoon. Cut all this crap out. Just the most important aspect of being able to play a video game is being able to play a good video game. Give me the games. Give me the good stuff.
Me and you are both someone who doesn't have a smartphone or a tablet PC. You got to, like, cut this off. Now, in the Wii U, I'll give credit for it. Like, I love the fact that I could be playing this game. And then you're saying, why don't we Skype? So I have to get up to my computer. So I could be, the game could be going, and I could just be looking at the screen right here like I'm playing a portable game. That's cool to me. Like, that is useful. But the integration they show where you can use the touchscreen of your tablet connected to your Xbox to move it, like to move the dashboard, I'm thinking, I can use my goddamn thumbstick because I have a controller in my hand. Or I could wave at it with a Kinect. That is useless. Do I want to watch a movie on my Xbox, start it there, and then take it onto my phone and watch it somewhere else? Like, that is nothing. It's a waste of time. I don't know why this is the next big trend. Like you said, apparently it is, but wow, I could not think of anything more underwhelming. I mean, is the technology neat? Sure, but is it something even, not even interesting? I'm talking about practical. And the practicality of it is, it's laughable. There's really no situation where I can find myself thinking, you know, moving that control stick an inch to the right is not cutting it. I'm going to use my phone to drag across. That doesn't work for me. I was totally underwhelmed, and that was really one of the worst parts of Microsoft Conference, I believe.
Yep.
So, fourth question from Josh. What do you think of Microsoft's constant additions to that marketplace? Stuff like now it's Internet Explorer, stuff like, what's your opinion on all that stuff, Andrew? Because they do that pretty much every year. You know there's going to be some Xbox Live updates. Mm-hmm. What are your opinion on those?
My opinion on the apps that they add and stuff, I think they're either hit or miss. They've done some good with them, but they've also done some bad. And so it just really depends what it is and how it works as to if it's going to be good or not. And so they push and they pull with that stuff. So I can't pin down a love or hate for it, because some good, some bad. And that's the way it's been working with them ever since the 360 started.
Yeah. And let's I'm going to go down and check the apps. And you tell me if you've not just used them, but like you've used them thinking, I need this. This is a good addition, right?
Mm-hmm.
Netflix. Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic addition. I would much rather watch a movie on my gigantic TV than on my little, than on my computer monitor. Okay? Facebook. Do you use it on Xbox?
No, not really.
Why would you? Twitter. Why would you? ESPN. There's one. They were really big on ESPN this year. Like, you can watch all this stuff on ESPN. Like, there's supposed to be like a 24/7 ESPN network on Xbox. And I'm thinking, can I just watch that on my fucking TV and not overheat my Xbox doing so? I guess the way I feel about it is YouTube is another one, useless on the Xbox. If I have a computer, it is so much more efficient at doing the stuff that Xbox wants to do. Netflix, yes. Any kind of Crackle or HBO Go, stuff like that, yes. Definitely on the Xbox.
Last FM, there's another one.
Last FM, I'd rather use it on the computer again. I don't know. Xbox, sure, it has some utility. The idea being, if I'm going to sit down and watch a movie, of course I want to be on my couch and on my Xbox. But if I want to use Facebook, I'm going to use my computer because it's easier. But then now we're finding ourselves in this shady spot. If you have cable and or satellite, or you have TV and internet, do you need ESPN on your Xbox? If you need NHL? I mean, I don't know. It just kind of boils down to the fact that give me something that if it makes more sense to do it on the Xbox, then yes, I'm interested. But if it makes less sense, then it's just a waste of time for me. It seems like a lot of the partnership, especially Internet Explorer, was their big one for this year. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm glad the Xbox has a browser, but I usually, when I'm playing games with y'all, I usually bring a laptop in here to sit right next to me on the couch. So I use that for talking. I use that for Facebook. I use that for whatever I'm looking at. And I play the game because the Xbox is a game machine. I'm not interested in my Xbox being another mini computer that doesn't do it as well.
Agreed.
All right. And finally, Josh's last question. He asks, what were the worst moments from each of the press conferences? Andrew, just run on down the list for me as you think of.
Okay. Worst moment from Microsoft was the Black Ops 2.
Really? Mm-hmm. I was expecting for you to say Usher, but okay.
No, I think Usher was time-consuming, yes. Went on far longer than it should have, but that was expected. A celebrity who goes on and talks about some game he's never even played, that he's just written his name off to.
Sure, sure.
It's expected, but it's just Black Ops 2, it should not have been expected.
Wow, like, totally agree with you there. Yes.
And so Black Ops 2 is worst moment for Microsoft. I think for Sony, their worst moment, I'd have to say, was, I'd personally say, the PlayStation All-Star Battle Royale.
Ooh, worse than Wonder Book?
Worse than Wonder Book. I think Battle Royale was just, for any serious gamer, that's like an offense. It's like, it's challenging our intelligence.
Saying, I got you.
I think you're so stupid, you can't know what Super Smash Brothers is.
Gotcha. I like it.
And I think for Nintendo, it was Nintendo Land. I think that was just their worst moment of the entire conference for them.
What about EA and Ubisoft?
With EA, I think EA's worst moment was that UFC thing. That was an entire waste of time.
Ooh, I had to mute it for that. That was very awkward.
It was completely unnecessary and stupid. I think even the two guys that were on there didn't want to be there. I think the people sitting and watching it didn't want to be there at the place.
Sure.
But and Ubisoft, Just Dance, that was a pretty terrible moment for Ubisoft, I'd have to say. I'm sure there was probably another moment, but it just can't come off the top of my head. So I'm just going to go with Just Dance for Ubisoft.
It's a good choice. I love your list. Going down, yeah, definitely Black Ops 2 ending with that killed it for me. Sony Wonder Bug, definitely horrible. And it didn't even work well, so that was very embarrassing. And Nintendo, the Nintendo Land finale once again, killed it for me. EA, when they tried, I'm pretty sure it was the EA or Microsoft where they tried out Joe Montana, and it was just very awkward and forced.
I think that was EA.
Okay, yeah, that was horrible. And Ubisoft, I'll say just the two hosts trying to banter with each other was very, very awkward.
Oh, yeah.
Even if I don't know her name. She was on an episode of House. That's all I know, I think. But she was okay compared to Mr. Caffeine and Joel McHale, but like the banter was just a bit too forced and just ugh. But like I said, yeah, those are all – you had some good ones. I agree. Josh, thanks for the questions. That's good. Now we got to move to Super Afro Boy, though, because he's got some good ones. You ready for this, Andrew?
Hit me with the best shot.
First one from Super Afro Boy. Can you think of anything that could be done with the Wonder Book that would be interesting to you or core gamers?
I like this question. I like it a lot because it made me think. I think there is something they can do on two aspects.
Okay.
I think one, they could have a nice idea of this pop-up, watch it on screen as it plays on the book type of idea for classic stories, but not doesn't have to read the whole classic stories, but just give like a 15 minutes play out synopsis where you can see, you know, like with Lord of the Rings, you just get a little synopsis of the character Frodo walking across the book and stuff as it talks about what the story is. And so that would be pretty neat as one thing. And then another thing that would be pretty cool would be to use the Wonder Book for game developers as an extension onto their stories. So let's say Assassin's Creed, they wanted to make something that could bridge this game to the next. So they used that little Wonder Book to give you a 15-minute video on this little book as it's going along to show how this game bridges to that game.
That's a perfect point because I believe we're having this discussion on the forums. And I guess to answer Super Afro Boy's question, what you said, sure. The application I see for that thing is not... It's just like with Microsoft Kinect in a game like Sesame Street. You know what? Super Afro Boy and his kid, that'd be a great experience because it could bridge a generation gap. The Wonder Book is not going to be something designed for core gamers, I don't think, which that's fine. If you had a kid and you wanted to read him a bedtime story and this could help you interact with it, what a great learning experience for a child. If you wanted to use it as a narrative tool, or as I was trying to talk about in the forums, the Animus in Assassin's Creed, what a waste. Why couldn't you just see this Desmond guy reading a book? You know, thinking, oh, this is what one of my ancestors did. This is the Templar War. That's fine. And sure, Wonder Book could add life to something like that. But to answer Super Applewood's question, I don't see any use I'd have for it as a – and I like how he put it in quotations because I don't like the term core – I don't like the term gamer, but core gamer is even stupider. I'm a guy that plays video games. It's one of my main hobbies. So the book, I just see it as more juvenile. Not in a bad thing. Like I still think that's a – it's very intuitive for a child, and they could benefit from it. Me, I don't see the point of it. And once again, when I look at it, it's just like we said about Microsoft, because they did better than last year about it. Don't waste your press conference time on something, which plenty of time to show this on the floor. And I get the press event, but like we've discussed, the core gamer, once again, I'm using air quotes, even though you can't see them, they're not interested in that stuff at their press conference. Now, is it important for it to get out in the news that Sony has this Wonder Book thing? And if you have a 5-year-old kid, you want to go out and buy this in a PS3 this Christmas so you can share this moment with them? Sure. But I don't want to hear about it. It just doesn't interest me. I don't think that's what the conference should be about. Even if I had a kid, it's not what I want to hear about. You know what I mean? Super Afro Boy's second question says, would you prefer to see multi-platform games released on the Wii U just use the Pro Controller, or would you like to see them use the gamepad with the developer tacking on something to use the touchscreen? What do you think, Andrew?
I think for me, that's a loaded question. Personally, I would use the Pro Controller over that gamepad any day of the week. It just seems more aesthetically comfortable to me. The Pro Controller is something I could play for 2 hours on and not even feel it in my hand, just kind of get into the groove of the game with. But the gamepad would be something I feel like the whole time I would know that I have this thing in my hand, it would be a bit cumbersome for me, and I would know I've got this thing going on, and it wouldn't flow very well for me, I don't see. But I do think the gamepad and stuff does add a nice aspect to it where you can use the touch screen to see things like comments people made about a certain section and stuff like that. And that's nice. It's just not, it doesn't hold relevance to the game itself. And so I would say on a personal scale, I'd use the Pro Controller. That'd be what I would want any game I play to be geared towards. But if I found a game that I love to death, like if the next Zelda game was a huge game that I thought was just amazing, and maybe the second time playing through, I wanted to pick up the gamepad to see little extra things that maybe people talked about, like, hey, hit this tree there to get these rupees that adds into it, then that would be nice, too, to not have to worry about the game changing from switching over, but to give it a little added bonus extra if I use this gamepad thing, that would be nice, but that's all personal.
I look at it, and I think it's actually would be perfect for third party, and I feel like an innovation, like using it in a special way, I think is probably going to depend on Nintendo. They'll be the ones to innovate their own technology. There'll be something crazy to do with Zelda, you're like, wow, that's a perfect use of that, right? But third party, I think if they use it like the Kinect is used, Arkham City did some stuff they shipped with that Armored Edition. I think, like, okay, that's pretty neat. You know, you can tap here to set off your explosive gel. Or you can use it to steer the battering. Sure. Give me, like, Mass Effect 3 an example. Who's to say I can't play it and use the touchpad to fire off powers? Like, I just say, you know, Garrus Overload. Now I can just click it on the touchpad. It's accessibility, which I don't think the touchpad looks that uncomfortable. I haven't held one, obviously, but I don't think it'll be that bad. As long as it's not super heavy, I don't think it'd be that big of a deal. If it can add something like the Kinect. If I'm going to play Mass Effect 3, I'm going to try to use Kinect, because as opposed to stopping the action and saying, or, you know, clicking lift grenade for my character, I can say lift grenade and it'll happen. It adds to the experience. It doesn't detract. And as long as the gamepad can add something to a third-party game, then sure, I'd be interested in using it. But I really feel like the real innovation won't come until Nintendo starts releasing the games they've been developing.
Yeah, I think you hit it pretty well with that.
All right, so Super Afro Boy's final question is, what was your favorite game revealed at E3? And he says, a very short list, I know. So, Andrew, what was your favorite game revealed?
Favorite game revealed at E3? Like, not known about beforehand?
That's how I'm taking it, sure.
Yeah, that's how I'll take it, too. I'm going to say Watch Dogs.
I think that's the obvious answer. I don't know. I think that's the safest bet, because that game did blow a lot of people away. I'm almost tempted to give a nod to the Beyond game, because I don't know. It looked interesting. Also, I got to mention Zombie U, because they didn't show enough, so I'm not, like, super hyped, but some of the stuff they showed of it was kind of neat. Like, I like the idea that's a good example of the touchpad, I think. Zombies are coming at you, and so you're going to enter a keypad, like, you're on a keypad for a door, these zombies chasing you. So you're using this you're looking down at the remote, gamepad, trying to enter this code. And you keep looking up at your screen, and you can see, like, behind you, these zombies are coming. So I think that's kind of, like, a neat idea. Like, okay, I am now in the game, and it's just, like, I got to enter this code. But I can see on my TV screen that here come these zombies. You know, I got to – it adds some pointless exercise in the game, entering, code in some keypad. But with the Wii U, it makes it more exciting, I guess. Panic, exhilarating, whatever term you want. More exciting. I feel like that was a neat showing, because you've never heard about the name's fucking stupid, Zombie U, but that could be good. But I think I'll go with Watch Dogs. It looks really cool. I'll have to see more about it before I decide, oh, day one, buy. But yeah, I wasn't expecting it. I'd never heard anything about it, and it was slick looking. The presentation was good, so.
Yeah, but I'd also like to give nod myself to the Paper Mario.
Sure.
The Paper Mario, Sticker Star?
Yeah,
because I personally never played one of those. No. I haven't played any of the Paper Mario before, but I do know that the people who have played it, it's got like a cult following. People who love it, they love it. They love it to death, and so for them to get another one is just, I think it's good news for them.
I'd recommend that you play the original one. You can get it on the Wii. It's quite good.
I'll probably give it a try.
All right, so that's the end of Super Afro Boy's questions. Thanks, Sab. And finally, I feel like we've been doing questions for a while, but Bailey has three. She's got, and I know the last one you're not going to get, so I'm going to describe this. I told her to put it in there just because I wanted to have a little discussion with you about this, okay?
Okay.
So first up, anything either of us were honestly expecting to see and didn't see? Andrew, is there something like you were just shocked that you didn't see at E3?
I was shocked that I didn't get to see a single Zelda mention of a game. I know they did a slight mention of a Zelda mini game in that Nintendo Land, but that doesn't count. Mm-hmm. I was shocked that there wasn't even a mention of a Zelda standalone game, not even on the 3DS or anything like that. That got me, because I know every single Nintendo fan was expecting the Big Z.
Sure,
that's what they wanted to see.
And even then, and like, it's been so short since Skyward Sword, but it's been a while since a portable one, and I thought that would be an obvious thing. It would be a Zelda for the 3DS, and even then, just like they did with Smash Bros. Last year, it's like, you know, we're making another Zelda, you know we are. And I know they've mentioned it, but yeah, I figured that would have happened. That was strange. Yeah, for me, I guess I'll just go back to the whole Retro Studios thing. They've mentioned they're working on something, and I believe they've quashed that whole Star Fox Metroid rumor that I was so excited for, but
well,
still, I can't believe we're... I know. I thought it was an interesting idea, but I can't believe we didn't hear anything about them. Because they're up to something, and once again, just a nod. I was really expecting them to be one of the kind of flagship studios for the Wii U, since they were just showing... Because that was the one thing about Nintendo that they tried to make clear, was they were just showing off launch window titles. And okay, I get that, but I'd hope that, you know, they could get sneak one huge game in there, and I guess they're not. So I was pretty shocked to not see anything about... And even, I guess I'll branch that out even off of Retro, because we don't know what they're doing. I can't believe Nintendo did not try to show off anything that wasn't Mario. It's Mario and Luigi, that's all they showed. Nintendo Land doesn't count. I guess that's the only thing I really think of, because I don't think I was expecting too much of this E3. But Bailey's second question, which I think we'll take a—I don't know what quite direction she wants with this, since we've been talking about the whole show, but I'll flesh it out. Her question is thoughts on the Wii U, and I'll say I'll expand that and to say your initial thought, Andrew, and after seeing E3, do you want a Wii U? Is this something you're thinking? I want that.
Yes and no. I still think a Wii U looks like a pretty good system to have. It's just, it's looking like it's going the way of the 3DS. It just doesn't have the game power. It doesn't have the heavy hitters to it that you want to buy with it. So you're going to end up having a system that's going to sit there as basically an investment for better games.
Sure.
Because you don't want it to fail. You know, you don't want it to be a failed system that Nintendo looks as a failure, because it's a pretty good-looking system overall. But it's just, they need better games to make us want to buy it.
That has been the problem with the last two Nintendo systems. You buy the GameCube, you buy the Wii day one, and then you're just sitting there waiting for the next Nintendo release. And I feel like this is their chance to say, like, all right. But even then, I guess, you know what? Once again, I said it last year. I guess we'll find out next year about Nintendo. Is this going to be something that can hold up and say, okay, you know what? I bought the Wii U. The next Zelda game's not coming out till later this year, but at least I can play all the games like Mass Effect and Call of Duty. At least I can play third-party games on it until then. If it's going to be like the Wii, like, well, I guess I'll use my Xbox until it's time for the next Zelda, then that's what they gotta get away from. And personally, if it was up to me, barring any major announcement between now and then, I guess we'll say November and be safe for the Wii U. I would not buy one day one, because there's nothing that would interest me, like, to have it then. Down the road, sure. Like, as soon as they announce Smash Brothers, of course, I'll get the Wii U for that. But, no, it's going to take a little more than that.
Yep.
Okay, so final question. I told her to stick this in. I'm not even going to really... I won't ask the question, because I just wanted... I told her to put it in, because I wanted to talk to you about this. I know I made the mention, because... You had predicted that Mega Man would show up maybe at Nintendo's conference.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't, of course. And here's a fun fact. Have you heard of the movie Wreck-It Ralph?
Yes.
Which is the whole...
It's like a Disney movie.
Yeah.
It'd be like a pixel kind of game looking thing.
Like a video game thing. And the idea being, you know, Wreck-It Ralph's like the Donkey Kong clone who's tired of being the bad guy. And the trailer is really cute. And there's a good scene with him sitting in there with... There's Zangief from Street Fighter, Bison from Street Fighter, Bowser from Mario, a bunch of these other villains about, like, a support group for being the bad guy. And here's the fun part. Here's your state of the Mega Man franchise. There is an early shot of that scene being developed, and instead of this random generic ninja in there, it's Dr. Wily from Mega Man, and he is gone now. They took him out. So it's obviously not a problem with Capcom, since Zangief and Bison are in Bailey, because Chun-Li's in the movie too, so it's not a problem like Capcom saying, we don't want to be in this. They took the Mega Man character out on purpose. And honestly, if you're into video games, everybody knows who Dr. Wily is. It's like Bowser. I mean, come on. He's a classic villain. So the point I'm just trying to make off that question is, Bailey asks, why was Dr. Wily taken out of Wreck-It Ralph? And the point is, they are pissed at Keiji Inafune, and they are punishing the Mega Man franchise because of it. And it's really just kind of sickening to me. Actually, it hurts me right in my soul.
I'm not going to say I feel your pain. I'm not going to say I know what you're going through, but I will say I have empathy for you. I think you and Bailey have been through a lot, and I can understand.
It's been a rough year.
I would give y'all food and shelter from the storm if I could. So that's what I'll say on that.
But I guess what I was the only reason I told her to put that in is just, that's it's something you kind of heard here, and it sounds like a conspiracy theory, but I really believe because, I mean, he kind of blasted him, Keiji Inafune. He was pretty rough on Capcom especially, and Japanese game developers. Just over there, the culture is so rooted in disrespect. It's like just such a no-no, and they're, I guess, punishing, you know, his baby, Mega Man, for it. And just, I don't know, it's one of those things that's kind of a blowback for me. It's it's kind of like if Roger Goodell, since the Saints did all that cheating and, you know, breaking all these rules if he stopped the entire season of football because of one team. I'm thinking, you're going to punish everybody because of this one thing. I think that's a bit harsh. So it's kind of the thing. You know what? Okay, you're mad at the guy. Cancel those two games, but let's just move on like nothing happened then, because there's still plenty of Mega Man fans. It's pretty brutal to watch, but I just wanted to put that in there because I knew that's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I knew you hadn't heard that.
I did not hear about that.
So there you go. Questions. Dave, Bailey, Josh, Super Everboy, thanks for the questions. Fun to answer. I think this is a neat little question session because we're all pretty burnt out on E3 after this year's pretty terrible one. But hope we answer those to your liking. Andrew, I guess now's as good a time as any. We have a bit of rapid fire to get through, and we probably covered some of it, but let's rapid fire.
Excellent.
So rapid fire. We've talked about this a bit, both of these first topics, but first, how was the EA press conference? Because we didn't really touch on it with the main ones. What did you think about EA, Andrew?
I thought the only reason they even had a standing last year was because they had Mass Effect 3 to talk about.
Sure.
And so this time it's kind of a joke. They have nothing that anyone wanted to see. And it was just a waste of time, is what I'll say about that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Medal of Honor looked horrible. EA Sports titles, how much can you talk about them? The new Need for Speed, Criterion, sure, it looked okay, but they spent way too long. I'm marginally interested in Dead Space 3 now that it's co-op, but it was just a big pile of meh for me with EA. Like I said, I feel like I was the same last year, except I was excited for Mass Effect 3. So, yeah, EA, I'll give them an F- and tie in with Microsoft for the worst. Next. On to greener pastures. Same question. How was the Ubisoft press conference? I know we've talked about it still, but what did you think of it, Andrew?
I'll reaffirm that I thought Ubisoft did the best conference of all of them. It wasn't so much because they were amazing, but more the failures of the other ones. But they were just the best to come out of it.
Yeah, that's exactly the way I'd put it. It wasn't fan. I mean, they had some good games to show, but they were the best loser. Everybody else had sucked so bad that they won by comparison. And not to totally dog on it, was an okay press conference, but it was not some kind of life-changing event. It was the best of the worst, let's put it that way. Next. Here's a good topic. Did Kinect/Move have any influence this year? Because it was definitely downplayed, but what did you think about their presence in the show this year, Andrew?
I thought the Kinect had, you know, marginal influence.
Sure.
in the Microsoft press conference. Less than I expected, but still more than I wanted. But I thought the Move was surprisingly not talked about in the PlayStation press conference. I was generally surprised by that because I expected them to do a lot of talking about that, but they kind of just didn't really mention it.
Yeah, other than Wonder Book, Sony really did not touch on the Move. And the Kinect, compared to the last 2 years, was basically non-existent. Dance Central 3, they centered that little stuff around it, and some nods here and there, but there was no Better with Kinect or any of that stuff. They both, really compared to the previous, just almost ignored it. And I guess if they would have shown something better in their place, it would have been good, but I don't know. I'm glad they ignored them, but still, if you're gonna swap it out for other stuff, make sure that other stuff's good. Next. Here's a good one. So, Andrew, what were your impressions of the Dawnguard DLC? I didn't see that much of it at E3, but I caught some glimpses. What are your impressions of Skyrim's first DLC pack?
I remember Todd Howard came on there and showed off a video, you know, a
sure.
little kind of half demo
yeah.
kind of video showing it off. And I was generally surprised at how much they showed. I usually think when someone has some kind of DLC or something, they don't want to give too much away about it because
mm-hmm.
they want to keep as much in as they can so that when you actually play it, you get more that you haven't seen. But Todd pretty much showed it all right there. I can't say if that's a good or a bad thing because I haven't played it yet, so I don't know if I've pretty much seen all the crazy things to see and I've, you know, mm-hmm. got no surprises in it. But I can say as of right now, it kept my interest because, you know, I kept looking at that and it left an impression on me knowing that, well, I got to see quite a bit in a DLC and that's not normal. And so far I'll give Todd the thumbs up on that. But going on later, maybe I'll have to say later, you know, Todd, you might have wanted to hold back so that I could have gotten to actually experience some of this for the first time playing it.
I think it looks interesting, and I also like the approach they're making, which is not, okay, you have now installed this, go here and start the DLC. They made mention that you have to find out about it in the game. So once you install the Dawnguard DLC, you have to find, like, the quest, which I thought was pretty neat. And it's just, like, extra content as opposed to, like, go do this now, like New Vegas or something would do. It looked neat. Maybe I'll get in the beta and contest it. It looked fun. I'm not shitting my pants over, but yeah. look good. Maybe like I said, maybe we saw more than I was expecting to see, so that was kind of a thing. But yeah, I want to play it. I'm excited for it. Next. All right, to close us out, here's a question for you, Andrew. What was the best and what was the worst game you saw at E3 that was not presented on a stage?
Best? That's a real tough one for me. I guess I would say the best was Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. I thought that was very well presented. The game was right. The game was done very well in terms of how a game should be done with that kind of realm, where it's, you know, just kind of a bit goofy, doesn't take itself too seriously, and has a fun interactive experience to it. And so that was a pretty fun thing to see. And I thought that was probably the best that they showed off stage. And I think the worst, personally, and I know some people are going to disagree, but I have my reason for it. I think that Star Wars 1313 was probably the worst thing they showed, for the simple reason that it was hyped about this whole time, even before E3 started.
And there wasn't much to show.
Yeah, exactly. They hyped about it the whole time, and we were all getting prepared to see a mature Star Wars game. And it was a joke, because it was like 5 30-second videos.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was just stupid. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. That kind of insults your intelligence. It makes them think that you're stupid enough to get drawn into just 5-second videos. That's supposed to be, oh, wow, look at this amazing 5-second video he did. He must be a genius. No, you're lazy because you didn't show us anything.
I'm glad you said that, because that is when I looked at that question in the script, those are the exact answer I had. Definitely Revengeance was the coolest game they didn't show. And yeah, the 1313, which was just hyped up when it was leaked. And it really was, I mean, I get it, but still, there was just not much to it. Like you said, the presentation was bad. The game itself, I think, sounds solid, but show me next year, or show me later this year when you have more to show. It was pretty underwhelming. And with that, I believe the rapid fire is concluded. Hooray!
Yay!
Wow. That was a massive E3 podcast, or it sure felt like it. I'm sure it will feel like it tomorrow when I'm editing the goddamn thing. But, Andrew, I think we're done. What I'll leave you with when we're signing off, one last thing. Overall, great. What did you think about E3 this year?
Out of 10, I'd give it a 4.
Ooh, bad. Out of 10. I'd give it 3. It was bad. It was real bad. I don't know. This is the future of E3. I don't think we can tell. Maybe next year there'll be more consoles. It'll be more exciting. But
we're praying like hell.
Yeah, really. It needs an infusion of fun. But still, glad you listened to this. We had fun recording it.
That we did.
Bad or good, E3 is always something to talk about. So I look at my calendar. Next podcast, I'll probably do it after Lollipop Chainsaw, which I'm not sure when I'll get it, but that'll be something for me to talk about. I know we'll do at least one in July, so look for it sometime then. But until then, I guess enjoy whatever left scraps of E3 are coming, and we will see y'all next time.
Bye, guys.
Prefer to see multi-platform games released on the Wii U use just the Pro Controller, or use the gamepad with the favorite... Damn it, I almost made it. We're gonna try it again. I think I drank a bit too much. And I mean nothing. And I'm building all this up, I don't know what I'm gonna say. Sweet zombie Jesus. I'd rather be slant. I would rather be hit in the nuts with this frozen sledgehammer than edit this thing. Mother of God. If drinking 2 drinks at 4 in the afternoon recording this didn't make me an alcoholic, editing it tomorrow definitely will.
So, the booba's going to the prism, and then the eye thing, and then we're out.
What?
No.
What do you want?
Eye thing, then we're out, then the prism.
How can you be out and then have something happen?
Wait, the booba's are the things?
The little guys, those are the booba's?
Yeah.
Fuck me.
How long have you been writing these?
I created the show!